phone to work.
Okay.
I just want to follow up on one thing. About last time, about the aid. Let's say a woman has trouble with pedicus. Can she wet the aid or lubricate the aid? So I was too quick to lump everything together, and I realized that was unfair. There's really a big difference between wetting the aid and lubricating the aid with an oil type. Wetting is water. Lubricating the aid with an oil-based substance, right? Oil and water are two totally different things in terms of chemistry, etc. The big difference between them is that two things. Number one, there is precedent in the Achronim for the heter of wetting an aid b'shas hadchak, b'shut ma'ar sham, or Shalom Mordechai Shwadron, who's a gedoli ador in Europe in the, you know, before World War I, let's say, is matir wetting the aid, chelik aleph sim kuf ne'vav. You don't have any classic achronim who are matir lubricating the aid with a, you know, KY jelly or any other type of oil. You might say it didn't come up then, but I mean, they had invented it then. And also al piteva, so in the Sefer Pua, they did some experiments, and they discovered that that when they put an oil on the aid, and they put a drop of blood on it, the drop of blood sort of dissolves in the oil and disappears. So that's very bad for bedikah. They say, well, if you chop it really quickly before it disappears, then maybe you could see it. That's obviously a big strike against it. Water makes it a little less effective, perhaps, but they don't see that water, like mamish, you put a drop of blood in the water and disappears. You can still see it a little. When you put a drop of blood on it, aid with oil, then it somehow the oil breaks it down and it mamish disappears. So that's obviously would imply that any oil-based lubricants would be a very bad idea for bdika, while water would not be so bad. And therefore, and also in terms of the poskim, like the classical poskim, you don't really have anyone who's matir lubricating the aid with an oil-based substance. I mean, no one, but not the most famous poskim. The Shevet Alevi, you know, he has Shirom and Hilchas Nida, I'm sure you've seen. He's like, well, if it's a long time beforehand and it's just a little and she puts it on her body, not the aid, and, you know, that's not such a, that's not such a useful heter, practically, because I don't know how much it's going to help. He's very wary of it. So halacha lemaisa, it's really, you know, unless it's really the end of the world. You know, if otherwise, you know, they get divorced and she'd be in a gun and whatever, then I guess there are some less famous names they quote here in Shapua of mostly people you haven't heard of who might be make of shasat chak to lubricate the aid. But in terms of wetting the aid, so, and I saw that in Rev Solovsky's book, he's make of shasat chak, and Ray Neuberger's make of, and so the kids are, wetting the aid, if you're stuck, it's better not to. It's better not to, at least better not to. For hefsek for day one, whatever. But if you're stuck, you can wet the aid a little, not soaking wet. That's ridiculous. Then it just washes everything out. But just be a little damp. You know, on a weekday, that would mean, you know, you wring it out. You know, to make sure it's only a little damp. And on Shabbos, it would mean, you know, to just put a little, so that you don't have schita problems and so that it's not too damp. So that we can be matter b'shasat chak. But really, almost never be matir lubricating the aid, even the shasachak. Okay, continuing where we were. We were discussing the two chumras of the Ashkenazim in Siman Yud Aleph. Okay, if you're Sephardi, you don't have much to worry about, but we're all Ashkenazim here, I believe. So we have these two chumras. What were the two chumras? And one thing on 5 days instead of four. And number two, to count from the period instead of from the Tashmish, even though really Shechah Zerah only comes from Tashmish, but since it could have been Tashmish up to the period, therefore, to make it simpler, they just count from the period, even though it makes it more machir, but they had a gzeira to simplify things to avoid confusion. The question is, can Ashkenazim ever be a little more makel about these gzeiros? excuse me. So, give me just a second. Mm. Okay. So when are we makel in terms of the fifth day? Right? Right? What is our minhag? Minhag Ashkenaz. So, first minhag Ashkenaz is 5 days instead of four. Now, obviously, what am I talking about? I'm only talking about if her period's over. If she's bleeding, there's no having to make on anything, she can't start shaving the kiyum. The only question is, can you ever be makel to a hefsek on day four if she's finishes bleeding, right? So, well, one example, not really a kulam hefsek on day four, but the we learned earlier. We learned earlier in Simon Kuf Tzadi Gimel that for Dam Basulim you could do a hefsek on day four even for Ashkenazim. Right? Why? Because Dam Basulim is only Drabbanan, therefore you could do a hefsek on day four even for Ashkenazim, and that is also found in the Taz here at the end of Sof Sukkot. So, when can we be Mako to do a hefsek on day four? So one example is Dam Basula. That's in the Taz here at the end of Sukkot Hey and in the Nosa Kalim earlier in Simen Kuf Tzadi Gimel. The other case is, if you'll let me go ahead for a moment to Sif Yud Beis. In Sif Yud Beis, it says, Im Tasa B'Minyan Yom Echad V'Tavla V'Shimsha. She made a mistake in her count, and she Tovel that was Mishamish Mitasa too early, after without Shivanikiyam. Meaning, let's say, she made a mistake. She did Sheisha Nikiyam. And then toveled and slept with her husband. So she did a big Aveira. But now what does she have to do? So she can't just count the seventh day and then go to the mikvah, because now she has to let it Shavazera. Tzricha lehamtan Sheisha no shleim ashra timna yom echad naki v'titbol. Basically, she has to wait 72 hours, which is takes 4 days. Right? So, for example, on Thursday night, she was supposed to go to the mikvah Friday night. She accidentally went on Thursday night. If she accidentally went to the mikvah Thursday night and didn't sleep with her husband, no harm done. Just go Friday night. Taking extra baths doesn't hurt anyone. But if she went to the mikvah Thursday night and slept with her husband, then Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday are ruined because of Shechah Zerah. Then she has to count Tuesday as the seventh day of Shiva Nikiyam. And then Tovel, Tuesday night, V'titbol. Achzira de la Acher Shiva, Kol Shlo Tovel, Karoi, V'shem Sha'rei, Zo Tovel, Es B'chol Eis. However, if she has Shechva Zera after the Shiva Nikiyam, like, for example, she waited Shiva Nikiyam, and then she tovled, but her tefillah was no good. The mikvah was pasul, or her body had a chatzitz or whatever, and she slept with her husband, even though she didn't have Veira. Shechva Zera is not a problem after Shiva Nikiyam. She finished her Shiva Nikiyam. That's obvious. Okay, what do we learn from this se'if? We learn two things without getting into into some of the other inyanim here. But we learn that if she has Shechva Zera in the middle of Shiva Nikiyam, then that ruins 4 days. But she doesn't have to start all over again. Remember we said Shiva Nikiyam have to be Yitzufim in a row? Just means in a row with no blood. They don't actually have to be in a row. You can have 6 days, then wait for then have some days ruined because of Shechva Zera, and then have the seventh day. So the seventh days don't have to be in a row. It's a myth. They have to be in a row without Dam in between. Dam restarts the clock. But just because you lose the day of Shechva Zera doesn't restart the clock. You just fill in the day you're missing. The other thing we learn, which is obvious, is that Shechva Zera after the Shiva Nikiyam are over, it doesn't hurt anyone, because she's already guilty of Shiva Nikiyam. Big Machlok Shonim, what about Shechva Zera during the seventh day in the daytime? Through Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, she's already guilty of Shiva Nikiyam. So how about the seventh day seven after sunrise, let's say. Right? Technically, really, be after Alos, yeah?
But that's when the Shechva Zera didn't.
Correct.
She has
Then she always needs Shiva Nikiyam, yeah. Dam is always going to be a problem. Dam even on the eighth day is a problem, it's just a new one.
Is that because it's a lesser Tumah, or what's
the... That's because Dam is Matami her, right? Ruins the Shiva Nikiyam. Dam is. What's the difference between Dam and Shechva Zera? Dam is a stira to the Nikios. Shechva Zera is only Dan takes away the Nikiyos. Then she has to start all over again. Shechva Zera only takes away the Kiyum Sphira. And therefore, she's not the kind of Sphira of this day. Okay, Lemaisa, it's clear in the Gemara, it's a whole Machlokes Rishonim. No, Machlokes Rishonim, it's Tamu. It's clear in the Gemara that Shechva Zera does not passel during day 7. Why not? Because through Mitzvah Yom Kikulos, she already finished Shiva Nikiyum. Dan passels during day 7. But Shechva Zera doesn't passel during day 7. Then Dan means it's not Noki. If it's not Naki, then she doesn't have Shiv Nikiyim. Shechva Zera means it is Naki, but she wasn't Mekayim Sphira properly. Since Mixing Yom Kikulo, she's Mekayim Sphira properly. Okay, the Shach here is a little strange. He deals with it. It's a little strange, but Halacha L'maisa would be an interesting Nachkamina. If she accidentally toveled after 6 Nikiyim, and then her husband's a night watchman, and she's only Mishamish Mitasa the next morning, then we paskin. That's she can just go to the mikveh that night. The Shechva Zera is not a problem.
Wouldn't she need to have done a bedika on day 7?
She realized her mistake. Does a bedika on day 7? Yeah, after the Tashmish, sorry. After she realized her mistake. She sleeps with her husband at 6 a.m. and she has all day to realize her mistake. Okay. Now, why is this relevant for us? This is relevant for what I have on the board here. Because, says the Shach in Sevkot and Chav Gimel, he says, why doesn't the Ramah say an extra day because we're Ashkenazim? And the answer is, no, the minig Ashkenaz is only most of the shchicha. A woman who goes to the mikveh and sleeps with her husband on the wrong day and messes up her count of Shivat Kiyam is most of the shchicha, and the minig doesn't apply then. So, the other case it doesn't apply is for a woman who ta'asa v'tavla v'shimsha toch Shivat Kiyam. I actually got the shaila once. A woman, it's not that she lost track of days. On the first day, she had a questionable pinkish bedika, and she meant to like ask the rabbi about it, and then it slipped her mind and she forgot. And after she told him what's up, the husband wake up the next morning, she remembers, hold on, the first day, actually, I found something pink. Which means she only had 6 nikim instead of 7. So what does she? What does she have to do? The answer is, what does she have to do? Forget about, I'm not talking about her personal avoda. But the, actually it's a, whatever, there's a big machlokes, I'm not going to mention who was involved in it. Like, how do you personally relate to this woman? Do you like make her feel bad? Do you like mechazik her? You know, it's a fascinating question. Lechora, the answer depends on, you know, how she feels. Like, if she feels okay with it, you should make her feel bad. If she feels very bad about it, she might need some chizuk. But anyway, that's not the halachic issue. The halachic issue is that she had to wait 4 days for the Peletzah Shechva Zera to end, then count one more day of Nikiyim, and then go back to the mikvah. That was halachal maisa. But she didn't have to wait 5 days, even though she was an Ashkenazic woman in this particular case, because most of those shlicha lo nahaguro rabbanan. The Sivei Tara brings another case for not machmir. He says, Bidi Eved Im Kfar Tavla Vilansa Eitzel Pa'la. Bidi Eved, let's say she only counted 4 days. She wasn't an expert in Ashkenazi Halacha, or she didn't know the minhag. She counted 4 days, did a Hefsektara, counted Shiva Nikiyam, went to the mikveh, and went home to sleep with her husband, and then realized she was supposed to wait 5 days. Okay, did he ever for this minhag? We're not going to start casting aspersions on her after she already toveled and went to her husband. And therefore, we say, okay, next month keep the minhag of 5 days. This month, it's good enough that you kept the din without the minhag, because of a minhag, we're not going to say after you slept with your husband that you were an idah. That's not found. And where's this found? This is found in the Taz here. This is found in the Shach. This is found in the Sidrei Tara, not in the Pesach Tshuva, but if you look in the back of the Sidrei Tara, it's really there. I'm pretty sure it's not in the Sidrei, in the Pesach Tshuva. There's a big machlokas about Dam Tohar, interestingly, the Chasam Sofer is Machmer, strangely enough. give me half a second. Yeah. One second. Yeah, so says the... okay, I think those are the ones that I can think of now. Maybe we'll add more to it. I mean, we have another one, but I want to get to it. The count from Re'ia instead of Tashmish. So now we get some details as to when do you actually start counting from. For example, in 1 second. Yeah. The Pischi Tshuva here brings down, what if she was a Nida, she never Tovo before this time? Like for example, I don't know, her husband was out of town last month. So she didn't Tovo the whole month, and then she got her period. It lasted 3 days. So here, it's funny, there's a Lechem Asimla who doesn't agree with this, but all the posts agree with this. Or rather, that's what we are supposed to do with this. Says, what do you mean? She doesn't have to count from this Re'ia. She has to count from the last time she was a Nida. So, for example, if she got her period 33 days ago and 3 days ago, then she already has more than 5 days. She has 33 days. So, what's the problem? So, the Yisod is, here, details. I'm not talking about Kulas. I'm just talking about details. The details are, you count from last time, you count from when she became Nida, not the most recent Re'ia. So, for example, says the Shach. Someplace here. 1 second. Shach of Beis. What if she messed up, ruined her Shemini Kiyum? She started bleeding during Shemini Kiyum. You don't have to count 5 days from then. She's already been needed more than 5 days, right? If on the third day of Shemini Kiyum, it's already been 8 days. So she can do a Hefsek Tara right away. So if she messes up her Shemini Kiyum, she can do a Hefsek Tara right away. Because she's already been needed for more than 5 days. So it doesn't mean count from the last time you saw blood. Means count from the time you became a Nida, right? Because what's the really should count from Tashmish, but Minig Ashkenaz count from when you're a Nida and couldn't have Tashmish. So just the most recent Re'ia. So therefore, if she messes up her Shemini Kiyum, she doesn't have to wait another 5 days. If she didn't Tovo last month, she doesn't have to wait another 5 days. Let's say a even without what I'm about to say, a Kala who is going to the mikvah for the first time in her life. So if she didn't Tovo, she doesn't have to count 5 days. She's been in Nida for 10 years. That's more than 5 days. Okay, you get the point.
I wonder what was the Pischi
Tshuva? What?
What was the Pischi Tshuva?
Okay, so, for example, if she bleeds during Shiva Nikiyam, that's the Shach, or didn't Tovo last month. For some reason, Lechem Simla doesn't like this Kula, but that's how we'll finish. That's the Pischi Tshuva. She doesn't have to wait. Why doesn't she have to wait? Because she's already been in Nida more than 5 days anyway, so why wait? That's the point. Okay. Another what else can we talk about here? One thing which is not so much discussed in the Nosekel on the Daf, what if she couldn't have Tashmish, she couldn't engage in Tashmish for a different reason? Does that count towards the 5 days? Like, let's say, meaning, what's the meaning Ashkenaz? When she could have, what's the basic point of Ashkenaz? When she could have been with her husband, where goes her as if she was with her husband, right? So we don't start counting 5 days until she got her period. But what if it was usher for her to sleep with her husband? Does that count toward the 5 days? Like, let's say, it was her vesis, and it was also for to sleep with her husband. Or it was Yom Kippur, it was also to sleep with her husband. Or was that Velus, and also to sleep with her husband? Can we say, no, you can count that towards the 5 days, even though she didn't have her period, but since she couldn't sleep with her husband, that counts towards the 5 days. The meaning Ashkenaz is not dafka to count from your period. It's to count from when you couldn't have slept together anymore. Or what if the doctor says that it's dangerous to sleep with her husband, right? Mishmatu old enough, she'll save them, yes. Or what if he was away, etc., right? What if he was out of town? So all of these are big machlokes aposkim, right? Due days when they couldn't have been intimate count towards 5 days. Right, an interesting question. Is the Minigashna's Dafka count from your Nida status? Or no, count from when it's impossible to have Tashmish. So, you want to prove one way or the other? Or
no, I feel like the having the husband be out of town is different from the other example.
Correct. These examples, they don't all have that same answer. Since the big machlokas, where Willig says, is that if there's a practical reason they couldn't engage in Tashmish, you can't count that towards the 5 days. Because those are always given to, you know, change, and you could change plans, and say, you never know, the doctor said it's Asher Tashmish. Okay, but not everyone always listens to the doctor, etc. You know, he was out of town. Okay, but he could have come back from town. You know, aim was never soft. It just becomes too difficult to draw the line. But if it was halachically Asher for them to engage in Tashmish, then Rabbi Willig Paskins, you can count that towards the 5 days. So, for example, let's say it was Yom Kippur. And then Motzi Yom Kippur was her Vesas HaChodesh. And then she got her period that night. Then you can count from Yom Kippur all the way back to the 5 days because it was forbidden to engage in Tashmish. Or let's say she got her period on a night of her of her Vesas, and the previous day was also her Vesas. Okay, then you count the previous day towards 5 days, so it was forbidden to engage in Tashmish. So Cesare, Willig, now, if it was a practical obstacle, then it doesn't count. If it was a, or lo aleinu, what if the husband was an avel? Is there tashmish amita? Then you could count the 5 days from the beginning of the avelos to it was forbidden to engage in tashmish. If it was a halachic iser, then it does count. What if it was not a halachic iser, but a halachic chumra bi'alma? What if they're extra machra themselves?
I thought more machra and halachos.
Okay, not always. Okay, what if it was a optional halachic chumra? Then it doesn't count. Why? Because it's good logic. They can always change their mind and decide not to be so machmir. So therefore, if they were just being machmir, then it doesn't count towards the 5 days. But if it was forbidden for them to engage in Tashmish, does count during 5 days. What if they're mesupik whether they were mutter or usser? And he blind mills later they were mutter, right? What happens? She has a bedika. She's not sure if it's okay or not. And by the time she shows it to the rabbi, it's already the next day and she gets her period. She only count, right? At 4 p.m., she does a bedika. It's her beses. And it's mesupik. She says, I have to show it to the rabbi. By the time she gets to the rabbi, it's already 6 p.m. and it's nighttime and she gets her period. She doesn't have to show it to the rabbi. And it happens to be that it's mutter. So do we say, Gloy Milsa, she was mutter and it doesn't count the previous day? So no, then it counts because for her, she was practically usher. It was usher for her to be with her husband until she showed it to the rabbi. That's not a homer. That's a suffix. Therefore, since it was usher for her, we can be mekel. Halacha l'maysa, since the 5th day is a big chumra, if it's just a question that, you know, since these are all chumras, l'maysa, if you're stuck, there's room to push the envelope a little more in these things. But as a general rule, if something's a halachic iser, you can consider that just as much as nida, just as powerful as nida. Count toward 5 days. If it's a practice, like the doctor said not to, no one ever listens to the doctor. You can't count that. Husband's out of town. The post will say you can't count that. But if they were just like machmir, again, there are chumras and there are chumras. You know, some things seem like chumras to us, but you know, are very strong to people. Basically, I mean, you should judge, but if it's something where they felt it was totally usher to them, then you can count that. If it's something where they were macro, but they knew that they could be makro if they wanted to, then you can't count that.
We didn't say that doctors of Sack is like Kobe Shwatim and Ashwatechem. Now there's luckily forbidden for them to engage.
Yeah, you're very naive. right? So, hold on. Explain to me all the from people who smoke. Right? The answer is that it's just different. Now, you'll tell me, what about the people who don't keep halacha? Okay, but within the halacha, we have to assume people keep halacha. Okay, but then, you know. All right, love the shana. I don't think you can count those. No, you for sure can't count those, because all those nights and minutes before Shabbat Halacha, Al-Pi Kavala, the Mishnah says, but if it's Mako Mitzvah, it's Mutter. And one of the Mako Mitzvahs, what if the wife is really needy, etc. So that, for sure, you can always compromise. So, yeah, so I don't think, for sure, you can't count those.
What's the reason that if the husband's in another country, you can't count it? This is a little plug?
Yeah, just a little plug. I mean, the whole thing's a little plug. Okay, Viker. Now, the question is, can we ever... Now, the truth is, that's a big machlokas, right? Let's just put this out, right? Meaning, what if the husband is out of town? Right? What if the... Right? Bala ain't no ba'ir. Right? He's the husband's out of town, ain't bala ba'ir. So, that's taka a machlokas, right? Meaning, the bach says it counts. However... The Shach and the Taz and the Poskim all say it doesn't count. From where we see that a practical obstacle, and we Poskim, basically all the Poskim Poskim, like the Shach, not like the Bach. So the Bach wants to be Mako, in Balabi, or he's willing to be generally, you know, more generally Mako. However, that does not, that's not the accepted halacha. Okay, so, what are there any cases when we could just stop being Mako? Can we be makel to count from tashmish? Are there any cases we can be makel to count from tashmish? I don't know which list this should go on. The shach is an interesting discussion of what about this doesn't come up so much. What about a, for the way we pass it, a kala? Can a kala be mako because, what do you mean? She's not shy of the tashmish because she doesn't even have a husband. Meaning she herself. Let's say a kala, before she got her periods, could have engaged in tashmish, but she didn't have a husband. Right? So, you know, biznos. She could have got married and given tashmish, you know, maybe, whatever, you get all kinds of theories. Anyway, how about a kala? Says the shach, now, lemaisa, since we're knowing, like, the Pesach Tshuva, quoting the Dagmar Vava, all of our kalas don't have to wait 5 days because they've been in Egypt for 10 years. But let's say a kala who has not been in Egypt for 10 years. Let's say a kala who tovah last month. And now does she have to wait 5 days? So the shach says, at least b'shas adchak he's mako, because maybe they weren't gozer on someone without a husband, they're only gozer on someone with a husband. Okay, but it doesn't come up so much, because once we pass like this pesach tshuva, against the lechem asimla, quoting the Dagmar Vava, then all kalos don't wait 5 days, because they've been needed for 10 years. Okay, so let's go on to, is there ever room to be mako? So says the shach, in Sivkot and Chaf Aleph, says he thinks that nekesem maybe you could be makel that you don't have to wait from the finding the kesem just from tashmish because kesem's only the rabbanim. However, the lavush says usser and the ramah sounds usser. He says well isha shabra filu kesem shikla hamdechish yom yom shabra sabo. Clearly, ramah sounds usser. Halacha lemaisa the poskim are. Are generally machmir. So, how about one kesem? The shach is mekel, at least in theory, but the pshat of the ramah and the lavush and the poskim are machmir. So that's not a good. That's not a good kula. The Shlos Yaakov quoted the Berhetev says that if ain bala be'ir you can be mekel. Right, says the Berhetev. right? There Hetev, Yesh Lahakel, and Ein Bala Be'er, right? Combined two kulas. If her husband's out of town and she only finds a kesem, then she can just count for the last hashvash. So the husband's been out of town for five. By the way, if you find a kesem, it's a big nafkamina. And you get your period, you always have to wait 5 days anyway for the blood to stop. If you find a kesem, you could do a hefsatara right away. Says, well, if her husband's out of town, she can be naked with a kesem. If her husband's in town, they just didn't sleep together for 5 days, then they have to be machmer. Okay, that's the achra of the poskim. The says the Taz, what about the following case? This is a sad case. A kala. A kala who goes into the chuppah and then gets her period. She stands under the chuppah. Kiddushin, Sheva Brachos, right? Ksuba, and then gets her period. So, do we say, well, now she has to wait 5 plus 7? Or do we say, no, since she's not really so shayach to Bia yet. Ah, she was the horror. She could have slept with her husband. No, she couldn't, because they were still in the chuppah. They weren't, like, up to the stage of Bia yet. So maybe we can more make it and say they weren't gozer in this case. Says the Taz in Sivkat and Zion. That if she hadn't gone to the Yichud room yet, then, Kodem Shenis Yachta, she doesn't have to wait 5 days. Why? Before the Yichud room, she's not even shaykh to the world of Bia. She's not even shaykh to the world of Bia. After the Yichud room, she's shaykh to the world of Bia. Ah, they didn't sleep together in the Yichud room? Okay, but they could have. She's shaykh to the world before the Yichud room, so that's a kula, says the Taz.
She doesn't have to wait.
Kala Shepirsa Nida Kodem Hachop, or even more than Kodem Hachopa. Kodem Hachopa O Achar Chopa Kodem Yichud. She still makes Shiva the Kiyam, but she doesn't have to wait 5 and 7. She just has to do a Hefsek Tara as soon as she can and 7. So let's say the Kala, I don't know, she has some bleeding before the Yichud room. Some small amount of bleeding, but that's the Tami her. Before the Yichud room, that lasts only 1 day. She can do a Bedika on that one, a Hefsek on that 1 day, and then count Shiva the Kiyam. However, if after the Yichud when she gets her period, then that's the Minhag Ashkenaz. Gzeira lo Shimsha to Shimsha, she has to wait 5 plus 7.
Even though it's not normally done to have
Tashmish
in the
Yichud room. Yes, but theoretically, it's Shaykh. She's Shaykh to the realm of Tashmish. Once she's in the Yichud room, she's Shaykh to the realm of Tashmish. What if the husband's out of town? It's not done to sleep with your husband when he's out of town. It goes against the laws of physics. But you're Shaykh to sleeping with your husband. Right? Okay. Says another Kula. But the Taz wanted, he felt bad for this girl. He wanted to be makel for her. But it's a limit how much you can be makel.
Why did it on this side and not on
what?
The 5? Why is it makel on this side of the board and not on the 5?
Because he's not saying you can only keep 4 instead of 5. He's saying you don't have to keep any days. Meaning, from Tashmish means not keeping any days. She never had Tashmish in her life.
Right.
Right? So that's why I said this board. You're makel to not even have to count 4 days. The Pesachei Tshuva gives another, Pesachei Tshuva Tes Zayin, and the, based on the Torah Sashlam, Yod Tes, but let's look at the Pesachei Tshuva Tes Zayin, says a case, interesting case of, he deals with the Kesem, he says, B'diavad, he's making a Kesem, right, fine, here we can put the Chamsofer, B'diavad, Achar, Shetavla, Yesh Lahakel, Bekesem. All right, this is more details than we really need. He says, you know what? If she only counted from Tashmish instead of from finding the Kesem, and she already went to the mikvah, even if she didn't sleep with her husband yet, then we can, be Mekel. The truth is, there he says even Mekel, even more than that. Let's look at the next part. Dogel Mervava says. That's the Dogma Vara I already quoted. But then the Me'il Tzedak, then he quotes from the Pnei Yoshua. 1 second. The Nodri Huda says, Yes. What are the following cases? A woman goes to the mikvah and then bleeds before she gets home. Now, it's been 12 days since Hashmish because, right, she was neither for 12 days. But, theoretically, she was muteris to her husband on the way home from the mikvah. But she never got home from the mikvah yet. Maybe it's like the cow who didn't make it to the yichud room. Like, theoretically, after the chuppah, she can sleep with her husband. But it's not really shayach because she didn't have a yichud with him yet. So here, theoretically, she went to the mikvah.
This is how it matters. You could have gotten to any hotel on the way.
No, no, I don't mean home. I mean to the same place as her husband.
Same thing as him being out of town.
What? Yes, except that in this case, it's not that he happened to be out of town. It's that, like, she wasn't Nida until 20 minutes ago, and then they weren't in the same place. So maybe since she wasn't Nida, and then the short time after she was a Nida, she wasn't with her husband yet, you can, like, see it, a continuation of her being a Nida. So maybe you could be making a little more, because it's not just that she happened to be far away from her husband. She was far away from her husband because of being a Nida. Right? Because she had to go to the mikvah. So, anyway, you want to argue in the kula, you can. The Nodi Huda says, a rabbi paskin this kula, and he said, you should yell at this rabbi. Ridiculous kula. However, he quotes that the Bnei Yeshua agrees with this kula. The Mi'il Tzedakah agrees with this kula. The Sidri Tara agrees with this kula. And the Torah Shlomim on the bottom agrees with this kula. So, Lemaisa, everyone except for the Nodi Huda agrees with this kula. So he says, you know, the Rov Achronim against the Noda Yehuda, Tavla, Virasa, Kodem, Shehigia, Eitzel Batla. Obviously, I don't mean to imagine if she comes home. Who cares if she's home? I mean, if she comes to her husband. If she's... Yeah. Once she gets home with her husband, they didn't sleep together, they just had a cup of coffee, then you can't be Mako. That's zero lo shimsha to shimsha. But maybe in this case, it's better than the husband being out of town, because the husband was far away because of her being a Nida and going to the mikvah, and it's like she can then continue her Nida separation until she gets home from the mikvah. I know I'll be lumdus, and you don't really have any lumdish status of Nida till you get home. If there's traffic on the way home, there's no lumdish status of Nida there. But in some practical sense, for this minute, maybe it could be Makel. Halach Lamaisa, if you Makel, you know, in these cases, it's also very annoying to the woman. She's been us for 12 days. Now, bad enough, another 7 days, another 5 in 7 days. Therefore, okay, they find some kulas. Another, what?
If she's home and her husband's not back from work yet, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Just to actually meet up.
Yes. Another kula, which is not in the Pesach Tshuva. No, FaceTime doesn't count. They have to be in physical proximity. Right? To the best of my knowledge. I think even nowadays for Tashmish, it's not enough to have FaceTime. You need to be physically in the same place. Even with all our modern technology.
Which is the same thing of, like, you know, that you're in, I'm going to be back for another 5 days, but, so she's home.
Yeah, I think we can be Mekel. Okay, says the Sidri Tara.
But can you explain why we're Mekel here?
What?
Can you explain why we're Mekel? Because this is a low plug in, and this is...
So the question is...
where exactly a practical situation.
No, the question is where to draw the boundaries of the low plug. Basically, the kula was, since this is a practical problem that's no... Since basically this... Basically, here you have a practical Mekel, they're not in the same place, which is continuing a halachic Mekel, which is she was a Nida. So the kula is, since she was halachically forbidden... I know, but this practical is just can be seen as like tuffel to the halachic problem. She was halachically forbidden for 12 days as a Nida. Now she has to tuffel and get home from the mikvah. So therefore we can see it as like tuffel to her being a Nida, and therefore we can be Mekel. You could say it's a little bit of a stretch. Okay, don't argue on kulas. Says the Sidrei Tara, which is not in the Pesachei Tshuva, Bidi Eved in Tavla.
We're arguing why the other cases also should be Mekel.
I know, but the problem is that at a certain point in these things, there's going to be a little arbitrary, and you're just going to have to say that it's kach nagu. You know, I'm not going to really convince you where to draw the line. You just have to say kach nagu.
Isn't this case different because the preceding days were halachic impediments?
Yes, it was halachic impediments with a little practical impediment.
So Wabala did not be here, it's not halachic impediment.
Correct, exactly, that's the difference. So it's even the halachic impediment that then continues into a practical impediment and a purely practical impediment. How do I know to draw the line that way? No one knows. Kach nagu, that's what the poskim say. You know, in matters of minhag, not everything has to have a lumdish, it has to have a lumdish reason.
Did you say in chassan classes that there's another kula for when the husband's going away?
Just give me a second. Here's the important part. Here's the most important part. I hope I didn't skip anything. If I skipped anything, I'll come back to it. The most important part is the Pesche Tshuva Sifkatan. Most important marker here is the Pesche Tshuva Sifkatan. Tesvav. Ayin Bishla. And what Moshe does with it. Ayin Bishla. Shekasav Zelashona. Maisav Baliyadi. Beisha Achashai. Shigam Dalin. Yidasav Lov Shifshan. Baila Balayla. Shekotam Riyasa. Vitarti La Lil Bosh Levanim. Yom Gimel. Lahaskar Lisbor. Yom Dalin. There's a case of a woman who, it was her fourth day from period, fifth day from Tashmish, because she hadn't been Mishamish the night she got her period, right? And I allowed her to do a Hefsek on day 4 and start Shiv Nikim on day 5, instead of the normal way. Why? Whoa, because if she had waited the normal amount of days, it would have been the middle of a two-day Yontif. Right? Friday night after Yontif. And what's the problem with Friday night after Yontif? We haven't gotten to this yet, but can someone figure out using their logic? What's the problem toveling in the middle of a 2 or 3 day Yontif? Chafifa, you can't clean yourself before mikvah. Forget about the issues we'll discuss later of is it that night or the afternoon before. Here, meaning it's really a tremendous kula. What does a woman do if she needs to go to the mikvah in the middle of a 2 day Yontif? We tell her, do chafifa 25 hours in advance. And be very careful with your hair and body. Body's not such a big deal with your hair, meanwhile. You know, that's like, we prefer not to get into that. Interestingly, it's not like we'll tell the woman, don't total them to the yontif. But we prefer, you know, you understand, you're taking your chances. It's a little nerve-wracking. She can't comb her hair. Right? She combed her hair 25, 26 hours ago. She has to make sure her hair doesn't get dirty or tangled for 26 hours. In a 3-day yontif, it could be for 49 hours, 50 hours. So we prefer not to get into that. Says the Shla, in order to avoid harchokas chafifa mitfila, then it's better to be a little more makel. Let's go back to this. So here we have the Sidrei Tara's version, the Shla's version. So, and says the, let's remember, what about harchokas chafifa mitfila? If you tovel a normal day, you would have 25 hours between combing your hair and toveling, and doing other things and toveling, right? We prefer to avoid taking chances with that. Therefore, the Shla says, now what's the difference between the Shla and the Sidrei Tara? The Shla says, you're only being makel against the combination of both chumras. You're keeping 5 days from Tashmish. You're keeping 4 days from the period. You're just not keeping 5 days from the period. So it says the Shla, Mekilim Lehamtin Rak Dalid Yomim Mehari'iya Shehem He Yomim Mitashmisha. Meaning, we're actually keeping both chumras. We're not just not keeping the combination of both chumras. What happened? Her last Tashmish was Sunday. Her period was Monday. And we'll let her do a Hefsek Tara on Thursday to avoid Friday night in the middle of 2 day Yontif. Why? Because on Thursday it's Taka 4 days since her period, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we're keeping this Chumrah. It's 5 days since her Tashmish, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're just not keeping the like singer of both Chumrahs. We're not keeping 5 days since her period. Normally we do, but we'll be making them. Says the Sidrei Tara Mekel even more than that. He is more Mekel. Just keep 4 days after Re'iyah, regardless of Tashmish. Meaning, throughout the fifth day entirely. The Shla wasn't saying throughout the fifth day entirely. The Shla was saying, if you keep 5 days from Tashmish and 4 days from Re'iyah, normally it's too complicated to tell everyone, but that's really good enough. After all, from your Re'iyah you have 4 days, from your Tashmish you have 5 days, I don't have 5 days from Re'iyah, and we don't have to be so firm. Sidra Tara is being more saying, no, throughout the fifth day entirely, just keep 4 days. Okay, Lemaisa? Yeah?
Can we ever more make all this, just 4 days of Tashmish, the way it used to, when I used to be?
That's the, oh, for Ashkenazim, no.
Even for a 2 day Yetzir?
Right, no. The only case we'd be Mekel like that is, in a case of, without, this is not the sheet here, but there's something called, we discussed this in the very, very beginning of Hilchos Nida, right? Halachic infertility. What if a woman, by counting 5 plus 7, always misses her ovulation, right? And it's too late in the month to get pregnant. She'll never have kids. She'll die without kids because she's getting 5 and 7 every month. So let's say her period only lasts 3 days, but she keeps 5 and 7 because she's Ashkenazic. Then we would let her, we'd be more makel on all these chomers. For pru or vu, we'd be makel on these chomers. And what would we tell her? We tell her preferably, separate from your husband 2 days before your period. Keep 5 days from Tashmish instead of Re'iyah. And if not, keep 4 days from Tashmish instead of Re'iyah. Right, meaning we'd make as much as we need to. Don't keep 5 days from Re'iyah, keep 5 days from Tashmish. Or keep 4 days from Tashmish. You know, we'd be making like the Sfardim. Ashkenazim, we'd be making like the Sfardim for a big deal, like otherwise you wouldn't do Peruvu. But this is not such a big deal. This is just once, take a chance with your hair. Then we'd be, so you're right, for Peruvu, we'd be making like the Sfardim. So if a woman says, my doctor tells me I can't get pregnant because I don't go to the mikvah until it's too late in the month, until past ovulation. We would ask her, how many days do you bleed every month of your period? I only bleed 3 days. I'd say, great. So instead of counting 5 days from your period, count 4 days from your period. Or count 4 days from Tashmish. You know, just make sure nothing is Shamish 1 day before you're expecting your period. And, you know, work it out. Then we'd be more makel like the Sfardim for Puruvu. But for these smaller things, then this is the most we'll be makel.
I don't know if it's easier to make this.
No, you're not having a chatzitza. You just have a chance of having a chatzitza. Women do it all the time. There's a 2 day yontif. The mikvah's open the second night of Rosh Hashanah, or the second night of any 2 day yontif. That's Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. And women go. Yeah, they manage.
How about a 3 day? Right?
3 day also they go. Yes. 3 day Rosh Hashanah, the mikvah's open Friday night, and women go. So I'm saying it's not like the end of the world. People do it. That's why it's not such a big deal. Mm-hmm. Now, Lemaisa, we can be making like the Sidrei Tara.
Isn't
the Sidrei Tara like the Sfardim? It's not the same as the Sfardim. No, he's not the same as the Sfardim. He's saying keep 4 days from Re'iyah. He's not saying 4 days from Tashmish.
So is he more Megal?
No, more Machmir. 4 days from Re'iyah is more Machmir than 4 days from Tashmish. Don't get me wrong here.
Sfardim could be his 1 day.
No, Sfardim keep 4 days from Tashmish. He's saying keep 4 days from Re'iyah. That's not his Megal. If Tashmish was Sunday and the period came Wednesday, he would still say Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
What is the thing about ovulation when it comes to that
you're
talking
about? In modern day poskim, I think it's in the Reb Moshe. I apologize, I don't know the course. In the more modern day poskim. Of course, what we mentioned or in the very beginning of the year was, what if she says, Rabbi, my period lasts 5 days? Then what can we do for her? If her period lasts 5 days, we can't be Mako. Like, what do you mean Mako do a hefzik earlier? She's not clean. She can't do a hefzik earlier. That's what we saw. The machlokas, can she just not keep 7 in the Tchum Gerbizir at all? And we're not going to chazer that now.
Are we monitoring if she just wants to have more kids? Like, even if she has like 8 kids, but she's preventing her from having a 9, she will still be monitoring?
Pashtus. It's very important to have kids. Pashtus. Very important to have kids. I encourage everyone to have their 9th kid. All in good health. In good health. Everyone should have good health. Right, if you're not in such good health, then not so pashut. Big shayla, by the way. You should see how holy yidden are. Rabbis do get shaylas about, like, the woman wants to have her 9th kid, and the doctor says, no, like, it's bad for your health. It's dangerous. So the rabbi has to pass it. Is it mutter for her to, you know, not use birth control? And it's a tough, some of these are tough shaylas. Halach lemaisa, if she's really, really in Sakanas Tafashos, then even though there's all kinds of nice words, you can say, well, having kids always Sakanas Tafashos, the Torah was Matrix, there's Sakasa. I don't know. If you're really in Sakanas Tafashos, just like, you know, be satisfied with your 8 kids.
What about Sakana of Baptism?
The Noah, I mean, this it's totally mutter to have kids even if there's some kind of Down syndrome. Well, you're kind of to have more kids if there's some kind of Down syndrome. F sure, like, it's mutter to do either way. Simple shot is, let's say a woman's 40 and she has 8 kids and she has another kid, she's very afraid of Down syndrome because of the statistics, whatever, I don't know if they're true or not true. You know? Then I think either way is mutter. Either way, if she says, no, I have enough kids, I can't handle taking chances and whatever, then that's mutter. And if she says, no, I want to take my chances, that's also mutter. Okay, there's, the famous story at the Rolling Mirror, but that's really not our Indian now. Right, you know the famous story?
No.
That, I think it's from Rolling Mirror. I hope I'm not misquoting, and it wasn't like the rabbi from some other town in that area who, like, you know, someone's sending around a scare in his town that everyone, once you're like 40 or 38 or I don't know, whatever they make up, your kid's going to have Down syndrome. And so everyone was like, stop, we have kids. And he said, no, you should have kids. They said, we're afraid of Down syndrome. What are we going to do? So he made a deal. He said that I hope was him. I'm on tape. Some rabbi. Maybe it wasn't him. I feel bad if I'm lying. He said, you know what? If you get pregnant, and because you listen to me, and they discover the fetus has Down syndrome, and you come to me, and you give me an hour to sit with you, and I can't talk you out of it, I'll be mocked for an abortion. Says he, that's a big kula. So I think he was also somech on his rhetorical skills, that he would talk them out of it. Anyway, so that's interesting, but we're not getting into this now, we're not posking now, that's just a very fascinating, challenging story. We're not getting to any of the shilas. We're not, abortion shilas are very, very difficult, and you should call a big rabbi before passing any abortion shilas. The only abortion. No. Abortion shilas are not for what? Okay, the only abortion shila that I encourage you to answer on your own is if, like, the mother's really gonna die. Like, not like, she'll suffer emotional distress and then maybe, et cetera, but like, if she's actually going to die, then you should say it's mutter. Or if someone needs a morning after pill, then since that's very far from the classic abortion, then you should say that's mutter. Anyone who needs a morning after pill, it's probably a good idea. I say meaning not like regular married couples. Other shilas, you should ask a big rabbi, because it's demon fascist. Okay, if the mother's life is in danger, it's demon fascist the other way. So you have to ask him right away. Okay, and if it's been more than 48 hours or a long morning after pill last, then you should, even the morning after pill, shouldn't be master for no reason. Usually, people have a good reason. But after that, you should ask a big rabbi because it's dinin nefashos. Viter. Okay, now where Moshe here comes up in the Makor, I told you last time, I'll tell you again, it's either the back of Rabbi Iger's book, and they published it in Yoredeya Chelek Dalet Vigras Moshe, Simon Yud Zayin, Osios Chafbez to Chaf Dalet, even within those three Osios that he seems to have written at the same time, he goes back and forth a few times. I mean, he's so sure himself. I mean, he goes back and forth about exactly the borderline a few times, but he makes a crazy deal. But it's mukrach. His diok is true. Simon Yud Zayin, Os Chaf Beis Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalet are all about the shayla. You want to hear his crazy diok? But I don't mean crazy. I mean it's like logically obvious. Like there's no way to deny it. It's just like I wouldn't have thought of it myself. It says the case of the Sidrei Tara and Shla says I have a better solution. Why not just tell her to wait till Matzah Yontif and Tovel? What do you have to say? I'll be Mekel, you can Tovel a day earlier than normal in order to avoid having to keep your hair untangled for 49 hours or for 25 hours. Why didn't you just tell them, Tovel, don't Tovel a day earlier. Tovel a day later and then you can comb your hair on Matzah Yontif. Right? If it's a Friday Shabbos Yontif, tell Tovel, you can Tovel Thursday night so you can comb your hair beforehand. You don't want to Tovel Friday night when you can't comb your hair beforehand. Just tell them wait till Saturday night. So they'll not Tovel one night of Ono, wait till Saturday night, and then they'll be able to comb their hair beforehand. Says Ramosha, what do we see from here? We see from here that it's worth being Mako to avoid pushing off Tefillah by one day. For bitl ona achas, bitl leil achas, a mitzvah's ona, you should be mekel on the fifth day. Because why didn't these gedolim just tell her wait an extra day? Apparently, no, it's not worth waiting an extra day. It's better to be mekel on the chumers of the Ashkenazim than to have to wait an extra day. Is that not a great deal? When you think about it, you can't deny it. Right? Why didn't they just tell her delay her tefillah by a day instead of making it earlier by a day and solve all the problems? Apparently, no, we don't like to delay tefillah by a day. We're even willing to be mekel to avoid delaying by a day. Therefore, Moshe said he had a case like this. Anyone here remember the country? I don't know if anyone went to the country in the summer as a kid. Right? What did the country mean? That New York Jews, during the summer, the wife and kids goes up to the country, to the mountains, country, and the husband only comes up on weekends. So what was the case? Someone asked him. The wife's tefillah was supposed to be Monday night. She was supposed to do a hefsek Monday and tovel Monday night. If she tovel Monday night, she wouldn't be able to sleep with her husband until Friday night, until he got back to the country. But she was clean after 4 days. Could she do a hefsek tara on Sunday after 4 days instead of five? And then tovel next Sunday night, and then she could sleep with her husband before he wakes up early Monday, drives back to the city, and she won't miss many nights of Ona. Says her mostly the diuk, even for one night of Ona. Even for one night of Ona. You're allowed to be mekel to avoid pushing off your tefillah by one night. Meaning, if on the regular night you would have to wait an extra night, you can do a night earlier instead of a night later. If you can't go to the mikvah, or in this case she'd go to the mikvah, she couldn't sleep with her husband, so it wouldn't help. Another case they had there was in the country. She was going to have to go on Friday night. Problem is, Friday night in the country, there's no mikvah in the bungalow colony. You have to drive to the mikvah. So she can't drive to the mikvah, but it's Shabbos. So she couldn't drive, you couldn't go to the mikvah Friday night. So she'd have to delay till Saturday night, till Motzei Shabbos. That would be missing a night of mikvah. So Moshe says, okay, better to go Thursday night, better to do a day earlier and be mavatra on the chumer the Ashkenazim than to go a day later. Meaning, what is he saying? Obviously, the Ashkenazim decide it's worth being machmer from 4 to 5 days one day. That does mean they decide it's worth waiting 2 extra days, like the Chumer day and another day. No, the Minhag Ashkenaz just, instead of 4 to 8, 5, and 4 and 7, 5 and 7. But if it would be 5 and 7 and 1, then they weren't so machmer. Better 4 and 7, better 5 and 7 than 4 and 7, better 4 and 7 than 5 plus 7 plus 1, because you can't go to the mikvah that night. And that was like some of the truth of Rav Moshe. Said Rav Moshe, am I mekel like the Shla or like the Sidrei Tara? Like, am I mekel that you can do it on day 4 of your period if it's 5 since Tashmish? Or even day 4 of your period that's 4 since Tashmish? He says, basically, we hold like the Sidrei Tara. If it's not a big deal, it's like borderline. It says, if you need to make it like the Sidrei Tara, if it's not a big deal, only make it like the Shla. But here says Rav Moshe, where am I going to put this? And this is very, very, very nogei halacha l'maisa. What are you nogei halacha? Keep in mind, if a woman bleeds for 5 days, that's not nogei halacha l'maisa. If she bleeds for 5 days, that this has nothing to do with the chumers of the Ashkenazim. These chumers are only if she's not bleeding, if she could do a hefsek, theoretically. A lot of people get confused, saying, oh, Rav Moshe's machmer 4 days. No, that's only if you're clean. But let's say she's clean after 4 days. A lot of women only bleed 4 days. Most women don't bleed 1, 2, or 3 days on a regular period. Many women bleed. I bet the plurality of women bleed 5 days. But a lot of women bleed 4 days. So an Ashkenaz woman bleeds 4 days. So here you have a big kula for a Moshe. She could do the hefsek on day 4 if waiting till day 5 would then cost her an additional day as well because of the mikvah being too far away, because of the husband being in the city, because of any of these other weird circumstances. Because she's on a plane, right? She has a flight on mikvah night. She has a flight to Eretz Yisrael on mikvah night. Now, if the flight to Eretz Yisrael is a midnight flight, then you can chop mikvah. She has a flight to Eretz Yisrael, 6 p.m. flight to Eretz Yisrael on mikvah night. So Rav Moshe was, so she's going to miss that whole night. Right? She's going to miss that night. So Rav Moshe would say, if you can't make it on mikvah night, then if you only bleed 4 days, you could do a hefsek 1 day earlier. That is Rav Moshe. So let's review Rav Moshe. Says Rav Moshe, 5. Igris Moshe, Alpi 4, right? This is a Paul Yotzev Kula 4, meaning there's no way to deny his diuk. I'm sure there are people who must, but I don't see how you can, logically. He says, for Bittel Od Laila Shalom. Ona. For a bittel of another night, you can be megal. How megal can you be? Can rely on shla if it's 4 days from Re'ia and 5 from Tashmish. And he says, and if necessary, can rely on Sidrei Tara if it's 4 since Re'ia and Tashmish. I hope everyone's keeping track. If not, yes, we go with you later, the difference between the Shla and the Sidrei. Sidrei Moshe, if it's now the 5th day since Tashmish and the 4th day since Re'ia, you could for sure rely on the Shla and do your Hefsek now if you'd otherwise lose an extra day. And even if the 4th day since Re'ia and the 4th day since Tashmish, if you need to, it will be hard for you. Like, yeah, if it's not, you know, if you say, no, it's hard for us to wait an extra night. I don't mean a big shasat chak, just a little hard. Then you can really, what he says is really, we hold like the same, we can make like a Sidrei Tara. If it's not so necessary, maybe just be, don't be, only be make like the Shla. He says, like the Shla, push it to be Mako. Like the Sidrei Tara, yeah, if you need, you know, if it's like, if they say, oh no, it's hard for us to be Purish, then we make like the Sidrei Tara also. So basically, he's like the Sidrei Tara. You know, if it's not such a big deal, maybe only make it like the Shla. That's a big kula. This comes up all the time. People ask shaylos, right? What's the shaylos people ask? On my, you know, people ask the shaylos all the time. And as a matter of fact, this is really what the rabbi should answer. People ask for big kulas. What do they say? They say, I live someplace which is too far from the mikvah. Get the shaylos all the time. I live someplace which is too far from the mikvah, and my mikvah night's going to be Friday night.
What's that too far?
I mean, just like too far to walk or too dangerous to walk. I don't know. It's common sense. It depends who you are. I once said to Shaila, someone said, oh, I don't live so far from the mikvah, but I have health problems with walking, so I can't walk. Or you might live a 3-minute walk from the mikvah, but it's through a bad neighborhood, right? This is Shaila used to have all the time in New York, and it's not safe to walk. It's not safe to walk at night. Whatever
you
think
of me. Walk an hour.
Yeah, or you have to walk an hour. So again, what if you have to walk an hour? For some people, that's a nice challenge. And for some people, it's impossible.
I'd say it's possible. It's just an hour and a half walk.
I think an hour and a half walk is, for if you're not into it, then it's impossible. An hour and a half is a lot. You know? No, I know people who are like, they like the challenge of an hour walk. Yeah. Like, I would totally do the hour walk just to show I could do it. I don't know if I can anymore. If I was younger. I bet I could still do it. But yeah, that's crazy. Where did Joe the line use common sense? And one of the rabbis, she always called the rabbi, say, Rabbi, can I have a heter to tovel during the day? Because it's too far to walk. So then mom is too far to walk. Yeah, someone's in a yeshuv without a mikvah. What are they supposed to do? Right? There's a yeshuv. Their mikvah is closed for repairs. Everyone has to use the mikvah in the next yeshuv. But you can't go there on Friday night. Or the country. And I don't know. When we were in Vacation Village, there's no mikvah in Vacation Village. You can go to the mikvah Friday night. You have to drive to Monticello or wherever it was. I don't remember where it was. Right? There's no mikvah in Vacation Village. What?
No.
Okay. So what do you do if it's... So there's... Can I have a heter to go during the day? Better than the heter during the day, the rabbi should ask them, well, are you still in your period or are you in your Shevinikiyam? If they're in their Shevinikiyam, then it's too late to change anything, right? Say, oh, no, I'm planning in advance. I know when I'm going to do my Hefsek Tara, and I know when I'm going to go to the mikvah. And the rabbi says, well, do you bleed for 4 days or 5 days? She says, I only bleed for 4 days. Then the rabbi says, okay, so do your Hefsek Tara day earlier, like the Svardim, and then you'll go Thursday instead of Friday, and it'll solve the problem. Right? That is Rav Moshe's Hefter. This comes from a lot of other, like, there could be certain, it's impossible to go there for a certain time, where the husband's not away, the husband's going on a business trip. Right? Sometimes the husband changes the business trip, but usually not. The husband's going on a business trip right before his wife goes to the mikvah. Right? He's leaving for a business trip an hour before she goes to the mikvah. So in that case, that's Ramosha's case. You tell her, well, if you asked more than a week in advance, if she asked 2 days in advance, you say, nothing to do for you. Right? But if she asks more than a week in advance, and she only bleeds for her period only lasts 4 days, say, try to do a hefsek on day 4, and then you go to the day earlier and be with your husband before he leaves on the business trip. That's the kula of Rav Moshe. Very, very important kula.
Can you plan to use this kula?
Like, can you arrange, let's say, a vacation to leave or something? Or
no, you can't plan to use this kula. It's common sense. One thing Rosh does say, he says, you can't use this kula every month. Because then you're just erasing Minhag Ashkenaz. You know, I don't see how that would really come up anyway. Like, why would a woman need this kula every month? Unless she had a Vesas Kavua and it was always Friday night. It could be she has a Vesas Kavua to always get her period on Monday. I know women who have a 36-day flaga, meaning every 5 weeks, if she always gets her period on Monday, then she might, and she lives someplace without a mikvah, she might always need this kula to always do a hefsek on Thursday and go Thursday night. Then Rosh says, you can't use it all the time. You can't use it bikvias. Then you're going against the minhag. Okay, so it says not bikvias, but most of the time it's not bikvias.
What if the fifth day ends up being like Yom Kippur or a day where they can't be together?
So that is a good question. What if the fifth day ends up being Yom Kippur? It seems to me, I'm not sure, but it seems to me Rav Moshe wouldn't be Mako. Mainly, Yom Kippur doesn't count as a day for these things. It seems so. I think, because what's the whole point? The whole point is you're missing an extra day. I don't know if that's called missing. It's Yom Kippur. You know, who notices the Isra Tashmish and Yom Kippur? You're in the Olam HaSol Yonin. That's not a day. So I don't think you'd be Mako in that case. That doesn't count. If it's built into the calendar, it doesn't count as waiting another day. Just if it's some practical problem in your life, that counts.
So for practical life, let's say like you're going to, you know, your parents or your in-laws, and the night...
What if it's a case where it's like just too socially impossible to go to the mikveh that night?
Yeah.
So could you be mekel based on the Rav Moshe? So, Lanios Dati, I think it depends if it's impossible or it's impossible. You know, if it's difficult, then I think, no, you have to do something difficult and work it out and be otriach yourself rather than rely on this Rav Moshe. If it's really impossible, then you can rely on the Rav Moshe. How do you know what's really impossible and what's just working hard? I use common sense.
Not impossible to go to the mikvah, but like just practically they want to tashmish because they're going to be next door to their parents.
Impossible to mishamish.
Yeah.
Or they're in the room with their kids, whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
That's an interesting case. What if that's an interesting case? I mean, I see what you're saying. What if they can have shark cravels? They can be total with shark cravels. They just can't engage in tashmish. Okay, what are these various cases? Okay, maybe they can be very clever and figure out how to engage in tashmish. All the Avaryanim do it. So why can't you do it for... All the Avaryanim figure out how to sneak in tashmish, so why can't you do it for a mitzvah? Right? You should learn from the Yetzirah. What if you can? It's an interesting question. What if you can? And that, therefore, it gets a little, I get a little nervous because, you know, then it's hard to tell what's really impossible, what's just inconvenient. Yesh lion. Okay, yesh lion. Maybe. What if the doctor says it's usher? That could be a case, right? She's having a medical procedure and then it'll be usher and tashmish. Then, for sure, well, she would be mako. Right? But that's not scheduled in advance. It'll happen whenever, then it doesn't make a difference. I mean, let's say she had a medical procedure that day, and she can't, and the doctor says, after this medical procedure, it's dangerous to engage in tashmish for 48 hours, and she's going to go to the mikvah right then. So the remote should say, go to the mikvah the day before if you're clean.
It's better to go to the mikvah before than the day.
Yes, better to use Ramosha's kula than to be mekel and go to the mikvah during the day.
So
in my humble opinion.
Can you rely that you just if there's a mikvah and shul then Friday night?
No, then you should work it out. Figure something out. Be clever. Yeah. Again, you have to use your judgment, but you have to figure out when it's really impossible and when it just requires some work. Right? So, what if you're in Fairlawn where the mikvah is in the shul and some people are like nervous about Friday night? Okay, so you get some training. You find some Ekshin Bet guy to give you training as to how to do things very sneakily in ways that you won't be noticed. All right, there's plenty of them around here. I'm sure some would give you like a lesson. I'll pay for the lesson. Okay, you know, dress up like an Arab, whatever. You know, work it out. That's a very important Rav Moshe. Okay, what did I forget? Sorry, give me a second to just figure out what I forgot. That I'm okay. That one thing. Keep in mind, one thing I forgot. I didn't really forget. I'm just not up to it yet. Two things I'm not up to yet. Okay, great. Amazing. I think we are good. All right. Now I want to go back to Sifyut Beis. I know I read Sifyut Beis already, but just to fill in one or two more details. Actually, two more details, to be precise.
These kulas can be used together, or it's like, or that would be like too much. Right?
What do you mean?
Like the two sides about the 4 and 5 and the...
It's an interesting question. There's a concept we'll see later of never using two kulas together, but I'm not sure if it'll come up. F sure. Some of them yes, some of them no. You know, sorry people. Okay, what do we see in Yud Beis? Remember, in Yud Beis, the main point was, what about Tashmish Kodem Tvila Kishera? What if there's a Tashmish before a proper Tvila? Right? Either before she tovled or before she tovled in a kosher way, right? All the same halachically. So what are the two cases in the Mechaber? Says the Mechaber, if the Tashmish is on or before night 7, then it's Soser 4 days. And even for Ashkenazim, 4 days, not 5. What else does he say? If the Tashmish is on or after night 8, then it's no problem. Because you already finished your Shivnikiyim. What did I mention about Peh? What if the Tashmish is on day 7? When on the one hand it's still part of Shivnikiyim, but on the other hand, Mitzayon Kekulo, maybe it's after the sphere has been Iskanyim. That is a Machlokes Rishonim between it's a Machlokes Rishonim. The Gemara says explicitly that Midoraisa there are a lot of Yerushalmish in day 7, which proves explicitly that Shechazer in day 7 is not Soser. The Raivin nonetheless says it's Soser, and he says, but only for Taros. The Shach discusses this, and he says, but the Sarach Iyun Ladina, because the shot of the smock sounds like it's Soser. The Akronim say, I don't know why the Shach is Sarach Iyun Ladina, it's against the Gemara. Basically, shot of the smock says it's Soser. That's against the Gemara, can't be. The Ravid says it's Soser for Tyros, but not for Bala. And all the other Rishonim say it's not Soser at all. We paskin that the Shach says Sarach Iyun, but the Poskim say that it's no problem. Why? Because to Mitzayim Kekulo, she's already finished the key on the sphere. Okay, now, what are the two horrors I want to say? Number one is... Someone remind me of the two horrors? Number one is the fascinating machlokas between the Taz and the Nekudas HaKesef, which we also had earlier, but I don't think I made a big deal of it. Has nothing to do with our halacha. But what's the scenario? Scenario is the guy slept with his wife during Shevinakiyam when she was in Nida. Violated the Isser Nida. Says the Taz, how can we say that she just has to wait 4 days, count one more day, go to the mikveh, and then be with her husband? She should have to wait 90 days. There's a din of Havchana. Okay? Whoever's in my morning seder shiur knows about the din of Havchana that mostly talked about in Shas. If a woman gets divorced and marries someone else, she has to wait 90 days in between so we can see who's the father of the baby. See the yichus of the baby. But there's not only that din. Even if we know who the father is, you have to wait 90 days if the baby would have a different status. If a couple converts, they have to wait 90 days before Tashmish because to see if the baby was Jewish conception or Goyish conception. So says the Taz, she should have to wait 90 days to see if the baby's a Ben Nida or not a Ben Nida.
What status?
Ben Nida is a metaphysical pagam.
For marrying the next Hashishiva daughter or for...
Good question. Hold that thought. So, basically, says the Taz, He says, you know why she doesn't have to wait 90 days? Because Mistama, this case where she slept with her husband 2 weeks ago anyway, so even waiting 90 days won't help. If she has a baby, we won't know if it's from before Nida or during Nida. Wait 90 days from during Nida until after Nida. Why? It's still stuff like during Nida before Nida, so waiting 90 days won't help. The word goes there. How about the case of the person who slept with his wife during Dam Chimut for the first time? Why does he have to separate for 90 days to tell if it's during Dam Chimut or not? Because Dam Chimut's only drop on.
In that first harem, she had her period afterwards, so we know that she wasn't become pregnant from that.
Good question. Either he assumed you could get your period when you were pregnant, or he made no kinta that it wasn't a real period, just like a kesem or a drop or something. Anyway, Halacha L'maisa says the Shach, this whole discussion is ridiculous in the Kudus HaKasef. Says the Shach, your whole Hanach is ridiculous. You're assuming Havchana applies to the realm of Nida? No way! Said Adi Siner and the Nekudas HaKasef. Says, Havchana only applies and there's a halachic difference in the status between if the baby was born in this status or that status, like Goyish or Jewish. Then how the rule of Havchana applies. But Ben Nida versus not Ben Nida, there's no halachic difference, Ben Nida, not Ben Nida. No halachic difference in him. It's just like a metaphysical Panam. Who says you have, why do you do Havchana to figure out everyone's like metaphysical, spiritual stature? That's not a halacha. Says the Shach, we follow the Shach. There's no need for Havchana to tell who's a Ben Nida, who isn't, because it's not a halachic difference. We follow the Shach here. Okay, last Indian I want to discuss is the discussion that, for reasons that will be clear to you in a moment, is not found in the Shulchan Aruch. What happens sometimes when a woman is in fertility treatment? So, in fertility treatments, generally, they do artificial insemination in many of the fertility treatments. Now, I mean IVF. What's the difference between artificial insemination and IVF? Just make sure we have our words properly defined. IVF is what's called test tube babies, meaning they take the sperm and the egg in a test tube in the lab, and they fertilize it, they let it grow those with an embryo, and then surgically implant it in the mother's uterus. That has nothing to do with anything. There's no anything, right? I'm talking about artificial insemination. Artificial insemination means they take the zera and they just like put it in a machine and squeeze it into the woman's, put a tube inside and squeeze it into the woman's uterus. No surgery or anything, right? It's just mimicking the regular way of tashmish. Right, regular tashmish. The husband puts in his aver and sends in the zera. So instead, they put in a tube and send in the zera. That's artificial insemination. So often they do artificial insemination in fertility procedures because that way, I'm not a buck in these things. They wash the sperm. Doesn't mean what we call washing in regular language. Somehow they improve the odds by doing the artificial insemination because they can somehow improve the zera before they put it in. That's the theory. So it's very common that they do artificial insemination. So what if a woman has artificial insemination during Shiva Nikkiyon? Not a crazy scenario. They have to do it at the time of ovulation, and what they do is they check every day and they make sure all these things. And they know the exact time. It's all, under supervision of doctors every day with all these tests and everything. They know the exact moment when she needs the zera to become pregnant. And they do artificial insemination during Shiva Nikkiyon. I mean, I guess if they're from, then they sort of have no choice for artificial insemination during Shiva Nikkiyon because they can't do natural insemination during Shiva Nikkiyon. That's what we just need to. But even if you're not from, they do artificial insemination because it increases the odds of getting pregnant and they're in the Rednian theory. So what if you do artificial insemination during Shiva Nikkiyon? Do you then have to wait an extra 4 days for Poleta Shepa Zera and then continue your Shiva Nikkiyon? Right? It's day 6 of Shiva Nikkiyon. They do artificial insemination. Do you now have to wait 4 days for Poleta Shepa Zera and then count 6 and 7? If it's day 7 of Shiva Nikkiyon, they do artificial insemination, you're okay. As long as they do it when it's daylight, then Mitzvah Yom Kippur on day 7, it's okay. The Poskim say you were Mekel. But let's say it's on day 6 or 5 of Shiva Nikkiyon, they do artificial insemination. Does that make her usur to her husband an extra 4 days because of Poleta Shepa Zera? Says the Shevet HaLevi, Shot Shevet HaLevi, if you want to look it up, it's Chelek Tes, not the Shiur Man Hopus Nida. In the Shot, Chelek Tes, Simen Kuf. I think it says Pei Gemel. If it's Kuf Chaf Gemel, don't sue me. But I think it says Chelek 9, Simen 183. says to Shimon Levi, if a woman has artificial insemination on day 7 of Shimon Nikim, she's okay. Well, makes the Yom Kikula, she finished her Kiyam Sphere, doesn't get messed up. She has artificial insemination on day 6 of Shimon Nikim, she has to wait 4 days for the Shechah Zera, and then another 2 days for day 6 of 7 of Shimon Nikim, and then go to the mikvah. She loses 4 days of Tashmish.
And practically, is it the same thing as normal Shechah Zera, like artificial insemination?
Good question. So, that's what the Shimon Levi says. The minigal olam is pimekel in this. The minigal olam is pimekel to not require your extra days for artificial insemination. Why would we be mekel? He seems to have a good point. So there are three svaras that you could be mekel. And l'chor, one of these three svaras at least is true. Now, more what Elon says, it's practically different. They stick the zera much further inside than normal tashmish. Right? And therefore, practically, there's less chashash of poletus. It's not going to come out so much because of how they stick it inside. So number one, practically, there may not be poletus shechah zera. So maybe we're not machmir if there's only a small chance of poletus shechah zera, less than usual. Right? Reason number two is because halachically, the zera is nishtana. They process the zera first. Maybe the din was only said about Zerah Shalom Nishtana. Maybe the Zerah is Nishtana, then the din wasn't said anymore. That's the weakest of the three. Or the third side is that maybe the din of Poletus Shechah Zerah was only Al Yidei Bia. After all, the Torah only talked about Shechah Zerah being Tami 1 through Bia. Now, okay, that's because Torah wasn't talking about artificial insemination. But maybe the Xeris Kassel of Poletus Shechah Zerah is only if it came in through Bia. Who says that the Xeris Kassel of Poletus Shechah Zerah came in not through Bia? You don't know. Torah Vatara is Xeris Kassel. As the Rambam says in the end of Sefer Taros, all of Torah Vatara is Xeris Kassel, and we don't understand why. So if we don't understand why, maybe we shouldn't be machmir anything not found in the Torah. So because all of these start in Lahakel, A, there might not even be Poletus Shechah Zerah. B, even if there is, the Zeris Mishtana. And C, it didn't come through Bia, so it's not like the case discussed in Chazal based on the Torah. So lemaisa of the minhag olam is to be mekel. Some people are machmir. The majority minhag olam is to be mekel, that people have artificial insemination during Shemini Kiyam, and they don't wait extra days for poletus shechah zera. That's the minhag olam. If, you know, it might be it's an interesting question. What if someone were to say, I'm going to have the artificial insemination like 6 of Shimon Nikiyam. Could I do my hefsek one day earlier based on Rav Moshe to make it day 7 to avoid all shailas? I don't know. In that case, I would pull the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, the Pesach Tshuva, says two hefsek taras. One on day 4, one on day 5. So one on day 4 will help you avoid all the shailas about the artificial insemination, and you'll really rely on the one on day 5. That's what I would tell them to do in such case. Okay. That's an important, that shaila comes up all the time. About the Shechah Zera from artificial insemination, obviously it's not going to be in the page of Shechah.
They treat the Zera, like how long is it outside of the man?
Oh, very short time.
Very short time.
Yeah, the clock doesn't run very far. Because when we say it lives 72 hours, that means barely. But it's at strongest, like I don't remember the standards, but the standards are like are really short, like it's supposed to be within an hour or something. I just made that up, but I'm more or less right. Meaning, you know, they want fresh, because the fresher, the better, and the whole point of these things is to maximize the odds, not to have some chance of getting pregnant, to have maximum chance of getting pregnant. So they want very fresh zera, so that's, you're right, okay, it saves us an hour, that doesn't help very much. Okay, Sif Yud Gimel says the Mishnah in Mikvaos, who's knows how to take a picture of the board. Alright. Okay. Says the Mishnah Mikvaos, a woman has a problem with Poletus Shechah Zera. What did they do in the old days when they kept Tumah Vatara and Truma and everything? It must have been crazy, right? She's always been Poletus Shechah Zera. So, only a nun is ever allowed to keep Tumah Vatara? You know, it's crazy. When she's not a Nida, she's Poletus Shechah Zera. How does she ever keep Tumah Vatara? So the answer is no. They would have a solution in the old days. The Gemara says, Kibda is Besa, the Mishnah says, it's no problem. What is literally Kibda is Besa? Swept her house. That's what it literally means. I guess it literally. If she swept her house, then she has no problem with Paleta Shechozera anymore. Now, what does it mean, swept her house? Here's the problem. In my old age, I've started to be very upset at euphemisms. Because on the one hand, it's very nice to have refined speech. On the other hand, sometimes I end up getting confused. It's a machlokes rishonim. The Rosh quotes Yesh Omrim, that it means sweeps her house. What do you think? I mean, the Rosh himself says, no, that's a euphemism for she cleans out the osomako. Right? The Yesh Omrim says it means sweeps the house. Ah, because the motions of sweep, sweep, sweep makes all the zera fall out right away, and then it'll all be gone, and there won't be any in the next 3 days. That's the Yesh Omrim. We do not pass like the Yesh Omrim. That's the dangers of euphemism. Someone will take them literally. The Rosh and the Rosh say, no, it means she does an internal cleaning to get rid of all the zera. She does an internal cleaning to get rid of all the zera. Then, that day there's zera, but for the next 3 days, there's no more shift of zera because she cleaned it out. There's another Gemara in Maseches Nida we won't go into now. Says the Mechaber, Ha'isha Shishim Shemitasa Verasa Acharkach V'Paska V'Rotza Lispor Miyom Machas V'Yasa. A woman had Tashmish Sunday night, got her period Sunday morning, wants to start counting right away. Wants to do a Hetzitari the day of Tashmish. Can she? Sure, T'kanech Yafi Ovos Mokom. Just wipe very well in her genitals. Meaning inside, the moch of a beged with a cloth or a rag, lahafle kol zera, to get out, get rid of all the zera, o tirchol tzmayim chayim, or take a good hot bath and make sure to get out all the zera, v'hinga flit to kol zera. All she has to do is mechav at the bayis, clean herself, gets rid of all the zera. So for Spartan, there's another solution. Forget about the bed, the only way 4 days from Tashmish. If they're stuck, Rabbi says you shouldn't use the solution unless you're stuck. But a Sephardi can just clean herself out very well, then there's no more zera. Then there's no problem. V'yesh omrim, however, the mechaber, and this is a mishnah. There's no two ways about it. Unless you want to say he's literally sweeping the house, and then she'll just sweep her house. But no, no one says that. I mean, someone says that. We don't says the Ramah, classic Ramah, v'yesh omrim de'enon ubekiyim bezman hazeh. Nowadays, you're not bucking how to clean out the zera. Ashkenazim don't rely on that. That's why I said Ashkenazim have three chumras. One is count 5 days instead of four. Two is count from Mer'iyah instead of from Tashmish. Three is we're not Bekiyim in how to clean yourself. And therefore you can't rely on this. Dari Karnis Bar, Shanunoga Mahamtana Filu Loshim Shaklal Kadesh Lochali Betzriel Lesfira, Kolshkin Bechai Gavna, Cholaporitz Gedr Verm Elu Machmash Nogel Hachmi Shkenu Nachash. After all, he says, we Ashkenazim are Machmer even if she wasn't Meshamish at all to count 5 days from her period. So, if we're machmir, even if she wasn't mishamish at all, we're certainly machmir if she was mishamish and cleaned herself out. and therefore, and if you're poor, it's getting spent in nachash, meaning be very careful not to violate the gzeira here, says the says the shach, that he thinks the Ramah is a little slow to dictum. The Ramah is like combining the smach. When he said, Dan, there are actually two reasons why we're machmir. One reason we're machmir is because one reason we're machmir is because, well, we have a gzeira that we always wait 5 days from the period regardless. So that includes even if you clean yourself out. But the second reason we're machmir is the smach, we're not bekiyim. What's not for me the second reason? Says the shach. Even in the milsa of lo shticha, like she went to the mikveh and she cleansed herself with her husband during shiva nekiyim, when we don't have our regular gzeira, we still have a gzeir vein on the bekiyim, so Allah lemaisa, Ashkenazim are not bekiyim, we don't rely on cleaning ourselves out. End of simon. Simon kof tzadi zayin. Someone's gonna, you got the word, right?
Yeah.
Okay, amazing. Kof tzadi zayin. It's called shalotit b'lisha v'yom, although it's gonna take a while till you get to the part about shalotit b'lisha v'yom. Says the Shulchan Aruch, ein anid v'azav v'yoledes ole mitumasan, Nida, Zava, and Yoledes do not leave their Toma below the meal unless they Tovel. Why does the Mechaber have to write this? That you have to Tovel in order to be Matar yourself? Because who doesn't write this? The Chumash! It doesn't say in the Chumash that Anita has to go to Mikvah. It doesn't say in the Chumash that Anita has to go to Mikvah. So we say, no, Anita has to go to Mikvah. Shafil achar kama shonim chayiv karzav al achz mihenel and ki tov l'koroi makom aroi. Even many years later, a woman, she got her period, and she's 50. And for 5 years later, she hasn't bled. Even 5, 10, 20 years later, whoever sleeps with her, chayav karis if she doesn't go to the mikvah. Okay, we all know that. It's obvious to us. The reason the Mechaber wrote it is probably because it doesn't say so in the Chumash. Oh, if it doesn't say so in the Chumash, then how do we know it's true? Right? How do we know it's true if it doesn't say so in the Chumash? So, the Mechaber here brings four different... Not the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef here brings four different opinions from the Rishonim as to how we know that a Nida has to go to the Mikvah. I'll just cover some of them. Says the Rambam, opinion of all the other Tmei have to go to the Mikvah, so to a Nida has to go to the Mikvah. Says the Ri, it's a drasha. Bin Nidasa, the Hey Ad Shatavo Bin Mayim. It has an extra word, bini dasa. It says, deva bini dasa. Didn't have to say bini dasa. What does bini dasa imply? Bi, in, means she's in her nida status. What do you mean she's in her nida status? She's a nida, she's a nida. Why do you have to know she's in her nida status? Another proof, she's in her nida status even after the days pass until she tovels. Drasha says, no, it is a... Excuse me. Sorry. It is a drasha of the Gemara that b'nidasa tehei ad shetav b'mayim. It's not. In the Gemara. Am I in the right place? Yes. Benidasa te ad shetavo ad shetavo b'mayim. Why doesn't everyone say this? Because one second. The Mefurs Gemara. Why doesn't everyone agree to this? It's the Mefurs Gemara. Like, why are there different opinions? The Gemara says, meaning, they used to not darshan, and then Rabbi Akiva came and darshan that. Okay, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. They used to darshan benidasa, she should look ugly and not put on makeup, etc. Then Rabbi Akiva said, that's wrong. Rather, benidasa means she stays anida until she tovels. So, I'm not sure why everyone doesn't agree with the Re. For example, on Tosas brings many other dais. I'm not sure. It's a good question. There must be a reason, right? Okay, I'll just tell you what it says in Beis Yosef then. And we'll have to think about that. He quotes for Haigon, although it might be Rav Yudaigon. He quotes as Rav Haigon. He says, Kal v'chomer mimaga nida. What does it say? If you touch a nida, you have to go to the mikvah. Well, if you touch a nida, you have to go to the mikvah. Obviously, a nida has to go to the mikvah. And it says, Rav Yudaigon, he says, the pasuk says, ach, before it's tefilas kelim, and what's the drasha? You have to tovel the kelim in a mikvah where nida tovels. So that proves a nida has to tovel. Okay, he quotes another pasuk in Zechariah that says it'll be water for a nida, proving a nida has to tovel. Okay, those are the four days listed in the Beis Yosef from the Smag. Lemaisa, a nida has to go to the mikvah, or else she is tmeya forever. Beis. Is it a mitzvah to tovel? So here we have a machlokes tanoim all over Shas. Is it a mitzvah to tovel or not? This is called tvila bizman, a mitzvah or lav mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah to tovel when your time comes or not? And lamaisa, who is this a famous machlokas rishonim between? And Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan paskins tvila bizman a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to tovel in the right time. You can't delay. You have to tovel in time.
Is that saying tvila? I mean, is the emphasis dafka on bizmana?
Great question. Great question. If you had asked me, I would have said it's also a mitzvah to tovel if you delayed the time. It's a mitzvah to tovel as soon as it's a mitzvah to tovel on time. If you didn't tovel on time, it's a mitzvah to tovel the next day. And if you didn't tovel on time the next day, it's a mitzvah to tovel the day after. I would have said it's always a mitzvah. It just means do it as soon as you can. The Mordechai, or not the Mordechai, but the Sefer Ha'agur somehow understood that it's only a mitzvah to tovel nizman, not a nizman, which I would not have thought. So I'm with you. But nonetheless, the Sefer Ha'agur thought that it's only bizman. So I thought lav bizman means it's a mitzvah to tovel right away, and if not, as soon as possible. The Sefer Ha'agur somewhere understands a mitzvah to tovel nizman, but the next day it's not a mitzvah anymore. To me, that's not obvious. I'm with you. But the Sefer Ha'agur is against us. Okay, great question. Rabbi Tam says, tvila bizmana lav mitzvah. Tvila bizman is not a mitzvah. Okay. The Bach also seems to be against us. Okay. Tvila bizman a lav mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to tovel. What would be one great... So says the Mechaber, let's see what we paskin. In Bala Be'ir mitzvah litbo bizmana shlo levatel miperi verivya filo laila achas. If her husband's in town, it's a mitzvah to tovel in the right time, so that you don't even miss one night of peruvu. Say the poskim that lavdav gepuruvu, lavdav gepuruvu, even if she's not going to get pregnant, not to miss one night of mitzvah's ona. Halacha lemaisa, who is this? Rabbi Yochanan, is this Rabbi Tam? Who do we passing like? Rabbi Yochanan says tefil bezman is mitzvah for the mitzvah of toveling. What are the machaber paskin? If she's married and her husband's in town, it's a mitzvah to tovel. So for the mitzvah of sleeping with her husband, that means that tefil bezman is not in and of itself a mitzvah. It's only a hechsher mitzvah, as we say in Lumdish terminology, for sleeping with her husband. So that's what we paskin, and of course we paskin tefil bezman a lot of mitzvah, meaning. I shouldn't say, of course, the Bach comes differently, but do single women go to the mikvah? What if a tefillah was on a mitzvah? Do men who are tamei go to the mikvah?
Yes.
Who said yes?
They used to.
Now I'm talking about nowadays. Oh. How do we paskin? Right?
Efsher.
but that's not... okay, maybe Efsher. Anyway, halacha lemaisa, it seems to that we paskin tefillah bizman a lav mitzvah, right? Tefillah, it's not a mitzvah to tovel per se. It's only a mitzvah to tovel in order to be with our husband. So tefillah bizman a lav mitzvah. This is how we paskin. Does anyone paskin like Rabbeinu Chananel?
No.
The Bach paskin is like Rabbeinu Chananel. Very, very, strangely. Yes, the Bach seems to pass like Rabbeinu Chananel, right? The Bach passing Tfilo Bezman a Mitzvah. This is the Bach. This is the Mechaber and all the other poskim. Passing Tfilo Bezman a Lav Mitzvah. But if Bala Be'ir, it is a Mitzvah Mishom Pru'urvu and Ona.
It's independent of Tfilah from Pru'urvu. What's so strange about the Sefer Ha'agur?
What's so strange about the what?
About the Sefer Ha'agur that you said was only the night. It was only the Zman and not.
Because you think if the Torah commands a Tomei person to Tovel, the Torah would command them to Tovel. If they miss the time, the Torah would still command them to Tovel late. Like if you didn't do Bris Mila on time, the Torah still commands you to do it late. Meaning most mitzvahs in the Torah, if you don't do them on time, the Torah still commands you to do it as soon as possible. That's what's strange. Right? If tefillah is an independent mitzvah, you'd think it should be a mitzvah to do as soon as possible, like bris milah. There's a time, but if you miss it, still do it. Right? That's why it seems strange to me. But you can always say Avri Yom or Batal Karbanim. Right, which is what you were saying. Okay.
Early in town, it's an actual mitzvah, is it, or is it a hechsher mitzvah?
It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's a hechsher mitzvah. Now, Agav, yes.
We passed that it's a mitzvah if for Baal's the year, or it's just a hechsher mitzvah.
It's a hechsher mitzvah, but that's called a mitzvah for practical purposes. Now, what does it mean to mitzvah? What this means is that, in a practical sense, if a woman's husband's in town, she has to go to the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Why might she have a havmina not to go to the mitzvah? So one reason is she might have a havmina not to go to the mitzvah because she's mad at her husband. Okay? This is against the halacha. She's, whether or not she's allowed to be mad at her husband, that depends if she's a good reason. That you have to consult a Musar consultant. But, that's also halacha. Okay. But she's not allowed to not go to the mikvah because she's mad at her husband. That is against the Shibud of Nisuin. And Al Pi Kabbalah, it says it's very, very bad for a woman to not go to the mikvah because she's mad at her husband. And even not Al Pi Kabbalah, it's very bad because A, it's against her being under the Havero Shiva to her husband. She agreed to get married. That means she agrees to go to the mikvah every month. She can't just break her agreement. And B, it's always a bad idea to use religion as a weapon against someone. It never leads to good things. Certainly not nowadays. Okay.
That's ona?
What?
The wife
has... No, the wife has no mitzvah to sleep with her husband. She is a Shiva. Meaning, the husband has a mitzvah to sleep with his wife. And a Shiva. What does it mean? The husband, there are two reasons he has to sleep with his wife. Number one, a mitzvah, the Torah says in Oslo Sigurd. Number two, a shibud. He married his wife. We all know that when you marry someone, you're agreeing to sleep with them. That's what I mean by shibud. Like, he has a contractual obligation. Husband has a contractual obligation and a mitzvah. The wife doesn't have a mitzvah to sleep with her husband, just a contractual obligation. But you're not allowed to break a contract.
When you said shahar poskim, say it's not for her, but it's ona, you meant it's a shibud?
Oh, no. I mean... No,
you said
the ad. The ad prove and ona. I mean, even if she can't get pregnant, let's say she's already pregnant or she's old or etc., it's still for the mitzvah of ona.
Ona's not for her. She's doing.
No, it doesn't matter. It's a hechsher mitzvah. So she's doing hechsher mitzvah with his mitzvah. Okay. So yeah, either way. No, because you want it to be a mitzvah, not just a contractual obligation. She's helping prove who is also not for her, only for him. Right? And that's the Ron in the beginning, second paragraph of the Kedushin, right? Who says it's still her mitzvah to help him prove it. Okay, I mean, it's complicated enough for now. Okay, halacha l'maaseh, but what if it's just inconvenient for her to go to the mikvah? let's say it's just hard for her to go to the mikvah for technical reasons. It's cold, or whatever, it's just a bad day. You know, there's too much going on, etc. It's her sister's wedding, it's the Seder night, it's... whatever, she's on an airplane, you know. What if it's just hard for her to go to the mikvah? So then, we assume it's a mitzvah for her to go to the mikvah, but it's not a mitzvah of like, you absolutely have to do it, yeharib yal yavor. It's like a mitzvah to do if it's possible, if it's not too hard. If it's too hard, then, as long as they both agree, if she says it's too hard for me to go to the mikvah and he says it's not... then that's very bad. Now she's going against her contractual obligations. And then she should. But if they both agree that it's too hard, then we assume this mitzvah is not such a strong mitzvah that you have to go crazy in order to perform it. No, this is under normal circumstances a mitzvah to get an extra, get right away to prurvu and simchas ona and all the good things that come with that. But if they both wholeheartedly agree that it's too hard, because sometimes it's just like, a deal, whatever, it's her sister's wedding. How are they going to get to the mikvah? She has to be there from like 6 a.m. putting on makeup. And by the time it ends, all the mikvahs are closed and whatever, et cetera, et cetera. You know, then if it's just practically impossible to go to the mikvah and they both agree, so no one's violating their shiva to each other, then they don't have to go crazy performing this mitvah. Then it's a matter of... you know, if you know, you can always have extra mesiras nefesh for mitzvos, but you don't have to have extra mesiras nefesh for mitzvos. There are some people who never delay mitzvah by even one night, even if they had to go to the ends of the earth. But that's a chumrah. In ikra din, it's a chumrah to say, nope, we're never delaying mitzvah, even if it requires me to drive 12 hours, you know, whatever the case may be. It requires crazy planning, crazy tircha. But the regular din, we assume, even though he says the mitzvah, that means the mitzvah under normal circumstances. You don't have to go crazy, and that's the accepted halacha. The husband and wife both agree that it's just too impractical to go to the mikvah. Then they can wait till the next night. Or if it's really impractical, they could use her moshe. Again, that only helps if she stops bleeding on the fourth day and if she asks the question 8 days in advance. Right. Yes.
Just because if she thinks it's too hard, but he doesn't, why does? Who says that he's right or she's?
Then
he's not her, so how does he really know?
Okay, but then the problem is, then they have a contractual dispute between them, and then you need to have an objective arbiter to decide who is more reasonable, and like whatever. We don't want to go there. Like somehow work it out, figure some way to work it. I mean, you're right. Then it depends who's right. And who gets to decide who's right? Neither of them. That's already, you know, if the wife is asking me, she says, I think it's impractical with mikvah, my husband thinks it's practical. Say, me'ikra din, you should go to an arbitrator who'll decide who's right. But lamaisa, you should try to go to the mikvah.
My wife always right?
Yes, but, no, my wife is always right. But my wife is always right. But I can't tell the guy his wife is always right. What if he's not holding there? Right? Lemaisa, if you ask me, again, if the wife says it's too impractical for me to go to the mikvah, my husband says I have to go to the mikvah, then I would say, why does the husband think you have to go to the mikvah? If she says, because he learned from his rabbi that you're not supposed to push off mikvah, I would say, okay, explain to him that I'm also a rabbi and I say that it's okay if he's willing to be moichel, because it's hard. But if she says, no, because he's really makvid, it's hard for him to separate and he wants to be together and he wants me to go the extra mile for him, then it gets very tricky because, you know, it's very sensitive. And Lamaisa, you should figure out a way to get them onto the same page somehow. Someone should compromise and, you know, you should use your interpersonal skills. Basically, what would I say? If the guy's really being crazy, you should try to talk some sense into him. And if the guy's being a little unreasonable, you should tell the woman it's worth going an extra mile for shalom bias. All right, but whatever.
At the same time, yeah, like the flip side, Shaila, like if a guy's wife comes to him and says, like, I think it's too hard, like, he just wants to be a good husband, so he's gonna, like, not push her, but.
Correct. So, really, if he's not mocha belief shulling, then she should really go to the mikvah. But whatever, I can't deal with every case in the abstract here. You have to use common sense in these cases. Okay, you have to use common sense. So, halach l'maisa, again, if they're both belief shulling, want to push it off because it's too hard, then they can push it off unless they want to be extra machmir and go crazy. If one of them thinks it's too hard, the other one doesn't think it's too hard, then really, or she presses her husband into agreeing when he doesn't really agree, then she should really go to mikvah. But how do you deal with the situation? You have to use your marital counseling skills. Okay. What if her husband's not in town? What if her husband's not in town? Then she doesn't have to go to the mikvah. We won't be able to get to today's shiur yet. But let me just point out two things that have to do with the line we just read, and we won't be able to get to the main part of the shiur. The two things I wanted to point out are, yes, the shach at the end of Sifkat and Gimel says the shach. He said, what if in those days some people had a custom that the basula, you weren't bowl of basula, you didn't do the bias mitzvah on Friday night. Someone will say that's a funny custom because whoever went to like high school or Shana Aleph or anything learned Masechet Ksuvos from the beginning. The very beginning of Masechet Ksuvos, they ask, is it mutter to do bias rishon on Shabbos? And they say, yes, it's mutter. Okay, some places at a custom they wouldn't do Biyah Rishon on Shabbos. Then is it a mitzvah to Tovah Friday night if they're not going to do Biyah anyway? Or, you can have a manager case. The doctor says it's dangerous, you have to refrain from Tashmish. Is it a mitzvah to Tovah anyway? Says the Shach, I don't know what the Hasidim would say, but says the Shach, says it's a mitzvah to Tovah anyway, because Lav Dafka for Puruvu and Ona, it's also a mitzvah of Shar Kravos. He says also, Deshar mini krevos nami mitzvahein. Shar krevos are also mitzvah. So even if there's a practical impediment to tashmish, then it's still a mitzvah to tovel for shar krevos. So that's important to know. In what cases is there no mitzvah to tovel? So obviously, we know this from regular halacha, the Torah Shlomo first says at the very beginning, on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, we don't tovel, because there's no bia, there's no shar krevos. For Rabbeinu Chananel, what? For Rabbeinu Chananel, why do you tovel on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? That's like the original sugya he's commenting on in the Gemara, is the tovel in Yom Kippur. For Rabbeinu Chananel, the mikvahs were open in Yom Kippur. Avada, for sure. That's the original nafkamin and shas between Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Tam, anachronistically. Between the Tanoim, who Rabbeinu Chananel paskin like, and Tanoim, who Rabbeinu Tam paskin like, is whether you tovel on Yom Kippur. When is there no mitzvah to tovel? A, Yom Kippur. B, Tisha B'Av. C, the Pesach Tshuva says, Avelus. Pesach Tshuva is the Kappa Ches, and some other places, Avelus. In Avelus, there's no Bia and Shar Krevos. So there's no mitzvah to Tovel. As a matter of fact, if she's the Avel, it's Usher to Tovel. If he's the Avel, there's just no mitzvah to Tovel. And if her husband's out of town, there's no mitzvah to Tovel. So when is there no mitzvah? No mitzvah plus Isser is Yom Kippur.
Plus Isser.
Tisha B'Av. There's no mitzvah, it's Isser to Tovel. And Avelos Dida. If she's an Avelor, it's Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, there's no mitzvah. Once there's no mitzvah, it's Usser to bathe. So it's Usser. What?
Shark Kervos are Usser or the Tefillos?
Both. Right? Plus Asura Litbol Machmas Isser Rechitza. When is there no mitzvah? But Muteris Litbol Avelos Didei. If the husband's an Avel, she's allowed to Tovel, right? There's no mitzvah because can't be with her husband, but she's allowed to because she's not an Avel. She can go to as many baths as she wants. And Ain Baila Be'er, if her husband's not in town, then there's no mitzvah mitbol, because she can't be with her husband. Okay, one last thing that will end, found not on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, a modern day anti-skula. What do you call an anti-skula? Something that's like, is bad, is curse. What?
Ayinara?
No, that's an example, not a general rule. Okay, is she allowed to tovel if her husband's not in town? According to the poskim, you open up the classic halachas for her. Of course she's allowed to tovel if her husband's not in town. There's just no mitzvah, right? It doesn't hurt. There's just no mitzvah. Nowadays, some people have a minhag that it's sakana shadim to tovel her husband's not in town, because the shadim hang out by the mitzvah, and if they see a woman tovel and she goes home and there's no man to protect her, then, right, the shadim follow all the women home from the mitzvah, and if there's no big strong man to protect her, probably something more mystical than that, there's no man to protect her, then the shadim get her. And therefore, there are those who have a minhag that, not also al pi halacha, but it's sakana of shadim to tovel if her husband's not in town, unless she puts a knife under her pillow. Okay, I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig is very machmir on sakana. I think if she does keep a knife under her pillow, maximum a pocket knife that's closed. Not like, you know, a big butcher knife that doesn't. I never asked him, but I'm pretty sure it's Kal Vachomer from playing hockey. anyway, Lemaisa, there are those who have that minhag that they won't, they're afraid of shadim if they go to mikveh without a husband in town. And if they have to go to mikveh without the husband in town, then they put a knife under their pillow. Halach Lemaisa, if that is not your family minhag, then you do not have to be choshesh for it. So those who have the minhag, have the minhag. Those who don't have the minhag don't have to be choshesh for this minhag. Usually, if you don't worry about the shadim, they leave you alone. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, if you have the minhag, you have the minhag. If you don't have the minhag, then you can tovel, even if your husband's not in town, and if you don't believe in the shadim, then they won't hurt you. And it might even be a good idea to tovel if the husband's not in town, because, you know, he could come back anytime. Nowadays, often people change their plans and finish the business meetings, get an earlier flight. And therefore, the husband would be happier if his wife already toveled. Otherwise, let's say he gets home very late at night and the mikvah is closed, he might might be upset. So maybe it's even a good thing to Tovel if the husband's not in town, and Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Davar Ra, unless you have a specific minhag to be Choshesh for the Shadim. Okay, we'll get to Toveling on Shabbos, which is the main topic of this Se'if Mirtz Hashem next time. And remember, tomorrow we'll continue Chasam class.